A new movie called The Squid and the Whale opens in theaters across the country tomorrow. It tells the story of a family which, at least on the surface, may seem a bit unfamiliar. The parents, played by Jeff Daniels and Laura Linney, are literary types whose careers are going in opposite directions. They live in Brooklyn, New York, with their two sons, played by Jesse Eisenberg and Owen Klein. For many watching, the film's struggle with divorce could cut close to the bone.
We're going to have joint custody. Frank, it's okay. I've got an elegant new house across the park.
Across the park? Is that even Brooklyn?
It's only five stops on the subway. It's an elegant block, the filet of the neighborhood. We'll have a ping pong table.
I don't play ping pong.
And we'll both see you equally.
How will that work?
We're splitting up the week, alternating days.
Why?
Because I love you and I want to see you as much as your mother does.
But there's 7 days.
Right.
So how will you split evenly with 7 days?
Oh, I've got you Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday, and every other Thursday.
Every other?
That's how we each have you equally.
That was your father's idea.
Don't do this.
How will I get to school?
There's a subway 4 blocks from the house. 4 or 5. No more than 6 blocks.
What about the cat?
We didn't discuss the cat.
Noah Baumbach is writer and director of The Squid and the Whale. He joins us now from NPR's Bureau in New York City. And thanks very much for joining us today.
Sure, thank you.
And I think as anybody can tell from that scene, it is both extremely painful and laugh-out-loud funny at parts. That's a delicate combination.
Yeah, and I think, you know, fortunately, I never thought of it quite from, you know, in terms of tone. I think I just, you know, came at it just how I see the world, you know.
It's been said that this is, at least in part, well, the story of your life.
Well, yeah, a lot of people keep telling me that. I think, you know, it's definitely inspired by people and places and things that I know really well. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's a work of fiction, too.
I assume you were the older kid in the movie?
Yeah, in real life, I was the older brother.
And
yeah.
there must be a great temptation when you're sort of rewriting Romana Clef, this chapter in your life, to give yourself a lot of really good lines.
I actually got, you know, more interested in kind of taking myself to task and being more critical of how I behaved back then.
Nobody gets off lightly in this movie.
Right, that's true.
Especially, it seems to me, and maybe I was just cringing because of the gray in my beard, the father figure who comes across cringing at times. I was just cringing for him.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I mean, I have, you know, at the same time that I certainly understand that reaction and relate to it, I, you know, I also have a lot of, you know, sympathy for all the characters in the movie, too, mm-hmm. even when they behave badly.
Especially when they're always behaving
badly. Humanly.
There's so many things in which you recognize yourself, no matter what age or sex you are in some of these characters. And it's both funny and it's really not a pleasant revelation.
Right. And I certainly, you know, had to sort of deal with, you know, things about myself in writing it that you know, I'm not always so proud of.
I bet. treating your first girlfriend, for example, this is, I'm not sure anybody has come out on the good end of this.
Right. Well, that was an example where, you know, if I was going to be true to how I was at that age with other girls, I couldn't depict a particularly sympathetic character.
Well, the girl is entirely sympathetic. She's wonderful.
She is, yes. Not
cute,
not
smart,
the boy.
Interesting. The boy is just a boor in this particular example.
Well, he doesn't have great examples to learn from.
No, that's entirely true. Nor does he have a great deal of experience, as becomes painfully obvious a couple of times. Again, the word cringe comes into play here. We're talking with Noah Baumbach. He's the director of the new movie, The Squid and the Whale, which opens across the country this weekend. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I wanted to ask you, you've been an independent film maker now for many years, and it seems sort of incremental steps up the ladder. I mean, this film might, well, it's shot in Brooklyn, but it's a pretty big budget independent movie.
It depends who you talk to. I mean, you know, we made it for $1.5 million and we shot in 23 days, which I think of as low and short. But you know, certainly if you're making a movie digitally in your backyard, I suppose it's a lot of money. But you know, compared to most movies, it's actually not a lot.
How did you get started in becoming, at your age, a director writer?
Well, I it was something I'd always, when I was sort of the age of the kid in the movie, I'd sort of decided I wanted to be. And in certain ways, I made two movies in my 20s that it happened kind of fast for me. But I kind of found myself right before I started to write The Squid and the Whale, I kind of find myself in a position where I think like my career ambition had sort of exceeded my sense of self. So I sort of in some ways had to figure out who I was as a filmmaker after I had already become one.
That's interesting. In other words, you sort of outpaced your own development.
Yeah. And this movie, in a way, I think for me was a kind of breakthrough on every stage, the writing all the way through the directing of kind of finding who I was as an adult filmmaker in a way.
I have to go back, though. There were a lot of people who will be caught up by the phrase, well, I made two films in my 20s, and I really didn't know what I... How did you end up making two films in your 20s?
That's what I was saying. Ambition exceeded... Mm-hmm. Not that I'm not proud of those movies. I am. I don't know. I wrote a script when I got out of college, which was about college kids who never wanted to leave the school even after they graduated, and I sent it around, and... ultimately I got money to make it and it's a, but it took me, after having made two movies, it took me, it was about a 7-year period between my last movie and this one. So it wasn't all easy.
Are all of your films at least semi-autobiographical?
In different ways. I mean, they're all personal, I would say, but probably you wouldn't describe them all as semi-autobiographical. I, for instance, I didn't, when I graduated, I left school.
But we could tell right away.
yeah.
But nevertheless, I mean, you must run into people. Memoirists have this happen to them all the time. Where am I going to be in your next book?
Right. Well, yeah, I and I'm noticing that people are... they're less conversant now with me. They're being more careful.
If they're going to end up in your next movie, they're going to make you write it.
Right, exactly.
As you sit down and write, a lot of this dialogue, I mean, again, this is very painful stuff you're talking about in terms of divorce and growing up. And people react to divorce and growing up not often in constructive manners, let me put it that way. Mm-hmm. Yet the dialogue is really crisp, How do you try to, keep an edge, or do you try to keep an edge of naturalism where people and wander back and forth across the subject 17 times, and that desire to keep it crisp and moving?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I mean, I think it's a process. I dialogue is something that comes easiest for me in writing screenplays, and I generally start with conversation, and I might have an idea of character, or I just might have an idea of a conversation, and I'll figure out who the characters are based on what they're saying. But early drafts are like real conversation. People say the same thing. They keep going over the same topic, and it's the sort of later drafts that become about really getting this into, turning it into a movie scene, but still keeping that natural, largely unconscious sense of real conversation that I started with.
You start with a sense of conversation as opposed to a sense of explication. In other words, this is what I've got to get done in this scene. We've got to go from here to here.
Yeah, definitely. I always, movies particularly, like pitch meetings are always based on concepts, mm-hmm. And I've always tripped myself up if I start to think that way, because I start writing ahead of myself, and I think I really need to start with character and sort of come from the inside out.
Nevertheless, I'm going to ask you, so what's the high concept of The Squid and the Whale?
The high concept, although I suppose you could say a movie about family and what it means to be a family and the breakup of family and the trying to heal family and adolescence, that's fairly high concept, right? We all can identify with that.
Noah Baumbach, thank you very much for being with us today. Good luck with the movie.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Noah Baumbach is director and writer and director of the movie The Squid and the Whale. He joined us from NPR's bureau in New York City. The Squid and the Whale opens in theaters around the country on Friday. If you'd like to find out more, you can go to our website at npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.